Chapter 6. The Investigation Continues. Memphis, Tuesday morning. Truman was drinking a cup of coffee in the office the FBI had given him to use in Memphis. He had been busy since arriving in town. The previous evening, he had examined evidence that had been found at the scene of Clifford's suicide, visited the hospital, and taken Mark's cola can to the fingerprint lab. This morning had begun with phone calls to Sergeant Hardy, his agents in New Orleans, and Ricky Sway's psychiatrist. Now Faltrig and Fink were on their way to see him. "So, what information have you got for us?" Faltrig said, as he and Fink walked into the office. First, Truman gave them all the details about Clifford's death. Then he said, "Mark Sway, the boy who reported the body, says that Clifford was dead when he and his brother saw him. Hardy, the Memphis cop who questioned Mark, thinks he's lying about something. Sway's brother is in hospital. Hardy says he's got post-traumatic stress disorder. And one more thing, small fingerprints were found on both the inside and outside of the car, as well as on the gun Clifford used to kill himself. Forensics are comparing those fingerprints with those found on a cola can Mark touched. I'm sure they'll be identical." "Why are you so sure?" Faltrig asked. "Clifford's secretary told my agents that neither Clifford nor any of his friends had kids," Truman replied. Faltrig excitedly began to imagine a happy ending. Mark knew where Senator Boyette's body was buried. Maldonado would be convicted, and he, Faltrig, would get the media attention he dreamed about. "We have to speak to the kid and find out everything that Clifford said to him," Faltrig said. "Maybe he told the kid where the senator's body is buried." "I've spoken to his brother's doctor," Truman said. "He's arranging a meeting for me at the hospital with Mark." Mark woke up the next morning to hear his mother and Dr. Greenway talking quietly in the room.
"When will Ricky wake up?" Diane asked nervously.
"I don't know. Maybe today," the doctor said. "Mark can come and go, but it's important that you are here when Ricky wakes up."
"Of course," Diane said. "I'll be here."
Dr. Greenway took the morning newspaper, the Memphis Press, out of his bag. "I thought you'd want to see this," he said, giving it to Diane. The front page had a photo of Clifford with the headline, "New Orleans lawyer with mafia connections commits suicide."
"Mafia connections?" said Diane quietly.
Mark suddenly felt like he was going to vomit. "It's all here in the article," said the doctor. "Clifford was going to defend the mafia guy who's been charged with Senator Boyette's murder. I got a call earlier from an FBI agent who wants to talk to Mark. He wants you there too, Mrs. Sway."
"I don't want to talk to him," Mark suddenly shouted.
Diane and Dr. Greenway looked at him in surprise.
"I mean,"
Mark said more calmly,
"I don't want to keep talking about what happened."
"Well, the FBI agent insists on speaking to you, Mark," said Dr. Greenway, looking at Diane. "Why don't I tell him that he can see you both at about noon? I'll stay with Ricky."
"If that's what you think is best," said Diane.
"Okay, then, I'll see you later," Dr. Greenway said and left the room. Diane sat down on the bed and started to read the article. Mark turned on the TV to see if there was anything about Clifford on the local news, but there was nothing.